So, remember last week we started with what I consider to be one of the most terrible bits of feedback we've ever had from Rhoda.
The bit about she wanted to hear about the churches I've been in.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I feel like perhaps balance has been restored to the universe because we've got a bit of feedback from David, which I want you to know about. And he says this. He says, "Dear Joe, I've just listened to the latest episode of the podcast. I'm so sorry that my wife wrote in expressing interest in Nick's churches. I feel your pain. All the best, Rhoda's husband." Thank you for that heartfelt thing. I feel better about myself already.
We're nothing if not a balanced podcast,
Oh, we are.
Welcome everybody to episode 206 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there on a little screen, freezing occasionally, so heaven knows how this will go, is Joe work. Davis.
Yes, indeed. Hello.
Hello. So, look, this is, I'll be honest, this is a strange one. I don't really know how to approach this
no,
one.
No, I don't know.
For reasons that will become sort of apparent, really, because you've had a bit of a few days, haven't
well,
you, really?
We have. It's, yeah, there's no easy way of saying it, so I won't sugarcoat it. My mum died in the early hours of yesterday morning, which has come as a bit of a shock. You may think that's strange when she's 96 years old. I mean, she has every right to die. But it all sort of happened very suddenly when it did happen. So she got quite ill Monday. And then I went to see her Tuesday, and then she went to hospital, and she's clearly had a blockage in her innards. And after a scan, they said that would be it. So we're with her on Tuesday evening, and she's on oxygen stuff. She had pneumonia and kidney failure and a few other mild symptoms. So we started singing with her because my mum is nothing if not, you know, crazily musical, and always has been a whole life long. So we sang together one of her classics that what she wrote, called "You Cannot Get a Tune Out of a Sausage," which is one of my favourites. And we were laughing and joking, and I thought, oh, we're, you know, probably they're going to make her comfortable. We'll come and see her in the morning. And she died just a few hours after we left, very peacefully and, you know, gracefully as these things go. So yes, we're in that kind of weird zone now where, you know, I mean, I don't know about the classic sort of dimensions of grief: anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I think I'm probably on mildly annoyed at the moment. Is that
why are you mildly annoyed? Sort of.
Well, OK, maybe it is anger. So we rang the home lesson where mum, you know, obviously resided, and said, "Listen, bad news, mum's died. Oh, we're really sorry. You've got 3 days to clear out her room." Now, because this is a lovely Christian home, I said, "Oh, great, that's fine." But what I meant is, you can't you see how heartless you are? But because we love Jesus, I said, "No, that's fine," because, you know, obviously. Obviously, you shouldn't really say that.
Yeah. it's. Well, I imagine they've got people queuing up.
Oh,
they?
Yeah. Yeah, they all want a room. It's a nice room.
Yeah.
On the ground floor. But nice views of the garden. Oh, dear. So it's that kind of, it's that kind of weird thing where you don't know how to fit. In fact, I have to say, of everyone I've spoken to, you have said the most helpful thing to me. Because, you know, I was going, I don't know whether I should work. I don't, you know, should I cry? I can't really manufacture it. I will cry at some point, and I've been a few tears, but, you know, not that many. And, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell people. And, you know, when we were chatting, you said, "Look, Joe, you do you." And actually, I think that is the best bit of advice I've heard. So thank you for that, because you know, even though theoretically I know this stuff about death, grief is so individual. And you know, I think probably I could not cope with the additional pressure of thinking I'm letting down all these families by not doing their funerals. So I've just come back from doing a funeral, and I've got quite a few to do go before we do Mum's funeral.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's like we do end up feeling, I think, quite guilty sometimes for not feeling the things we think we're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
And it particularly hits at times of bereavement sometimes, because you don't feel, perhaps, I'm not saying this is true of you, obviously, but some people don't feel as upset as they were expecting to. You know, all this kind of stuff.
And it's very natural to feel very relieved, you know, particularly when someone's not in pain and they're out of their suffering and all those sort of things. I don't know that I feel really. I'm quite envious of my daughter, who came back and sort of spent yesterday evening crying. And, you know, she knew she needed to cry, and she did. And she's, I think she's far more sort of in touch with her emotional life, perhaps, than some.
But it's different, isn't it? I think there's different. Yeah. So there's different brands of sort of grief, aren't there, really? So this is a good, you know, that those kind of tears are almost, you know, when you're 96 and you die, there's a sort of celebratory grief, if that sounds correct. You know, in other words, you're grieving not because it's unnatural, not because perhaps, you know, sort of unusual or anything like that, but because you're remembering who the person was, really.
Yeah. You
know, but there's no right or wrong way, and it'll come at different times. You know, this is the thing.
That's the odd thing, isn't it? Because all I can see is how busy I am. So I thought, right, okay, I'm going to take a week off, which I will now do sort of at the end of August. because I don't want to let people down. I've got bookings.
No, well, you can't. This is your profession. This is the trouble with your profession, exactly, isn't it? You can't really, can you?
So I'll probably save it for then. But how, I mean, you know, when you're, because it doesn't feel that long ago when your dad passed. You did the service.
My dad, yeah. Well, that was nearly 10 years ago. 2013, my dad died, yeah. It was on that first week of going to Renovare.
Wow.
You know, which is amazing. And,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what I mean, really, because I felt sad at the time and, you know, I kind of cried at the time, and our mutual friend Gary took me out, because I was in America, you know, when I heard. Yeah. And he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I'd like to go and get a really big bowl of ice cream, and a good burger, and talk about dads." And so that's what we did. But in some respects, it was kind of interesting, because I didn't, if I'm honest, have the best of relationships with my dad. It was up and down. It got a lot better at the end. And also, he'd been ill for a long time. We'd been sort of expecting it. So there was, again, there was those kinds of things. What should I be feeling here?
Yeah.
And I came back to take the funeral. My brother and I took the funeral. And it felt like Renovare sort of prepared me for that. But you can't manufacture.
No, exactly. And, you know, Mum genuinely was, I know everyone says this about their mum, but she was absolutely amazing. She was extraordinary. I mean, she could drive me absolutely nuts, of course, and did. But she was amazing. Last week she was playing for their communion service there, and they just loved her, you know, because it's like free musician on tap to play for hymns. Now they have no one to play for hymns, so they have to do a cappella, which is, you know, will be terrible. She's just, extraordinary.
And she sort of blossomed, didn't she? You blossomed into composing.
Yeah, she wrote. I mean, I genuinely think in another life she would have been written scores for films. She is just fantastic. And she wrote loads of musicals. Because I remember she was at my junior school, and she was the pianist. So it's kind of embarrassing to have your mum there as the pianist, Mrs. Davis and all this. But I remember they wanted to do some productions, but it was going to cost such a lot for the school to do Oliver and Jonah and, you know, the things. She just wrote musicals. She just wrote all these musicals for them, because it would cost too much to have the license. So she wrote
Totally fantastic. New musical to Oliver. Totally new musical.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
No, and she was still composing right up to the end. So I've got her manuscript. So, like, no, some people might keep a notepad by their bed to record, I don't know, dreams or something. I've just had lines of manuscript paper. And she'd just write out the top line and then go back to sleep and then play it in the morning.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So there we go. But I'll tell you the worst of the whole clearing out the thing. When I get a bit stressed, as I feel like I may be starting to do now, like there's a slight OCD that kicks in on me where I need my environment to be tidy. I can't deal with untidiness. It's like I don't have OCD and I can cope with, you know, mess under normal life circumstances. But when I start to get under pressure and stress, suddenly I have to tidy everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, now we've bought all of Mum's stuff back. We got people staying. We got, you know, it's like this absolute pandemonium. And I want to clear it, but I can't clear it all yet.
No.
So it's going to be an uncomfortable week or two, I fear.
Well, at least you recognise that in yourself, don't you? I mean, at least you know that.
Oh, yeah, it must be something about control, mustn't it, and not being in
control. It is, I think it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's the equivalent... I get this thing called hypervigilance, where if I'm stressed, I make enormous to-do lists.
Yeah.
And start to get everything organised. I feel that's the way to relieve the stress.
Yeah.
I'm not actually convinced it works, because actually it gives me a massive to-do list that I'll never get through. So I'm not quite sure how that relieves it. But of course you want to bring order, don't you? Because life feels disordered.
Yeah.
Life feels out of control. And so what you look for areas that you can control.
No.
And I think that's why some people become, you know, very controlling over small things in their lives sometimes. Because the rest of their life, they feel they have no control.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just stressed out about
it. It makes perfect sense. And I relate and I understand it.
But I think you should take refuge more in your other kind of safety valve, which is cheese and wine. That would be where I would recommend.
Yes, and the danger is I could put on a lot of weight.
Yeah, well, don't overdo it, but you know,
on the funeral, which I really don't want to do because I'm trying to deal with it.
yeah
but I tell you what, I mean, Mum's faith was rock solid. It's funny, you know, around her I had to retreat into a sort of, I feel like, a previous stage of spirituality. So I did the thing that I felt she wanted to do, and I said, Mum, should we pray? Yes, please pray. And you know, I prayed, you know, like I used to and everything. And I remember I got Mum, I think about 6 months ago, I got her, I said, oh, can you do an introduction for the podcast? People would love to hear it and everything. I know she has done one, but I thought, I'll get to do another one. It'd be great.
Right, okay.
And I said, look, you know, just if you could say Nick Page is an idiot, that'd be great. She wasn't having any of that. No, there's no way. I don't even know him. But I said, trust me, mate. He's an absolute idiot. You can say it. But she wouldn't do it because she's nice. And and I suppose I should say she was not. Oh, do you do that? I don't know. Anyway, so I got her to do it, and it was so long and waffly, and it was proper evangelical stuff. So I don't think I even sent it to you because I just couldn't cope with it. If I can find it, I'll dig it out. But it was proper, well, we love Jesus, and we're like, oh, no, hold on, Mum. Just, I mean, we do, but, you know. This is too much.
Yeah.
I'll dig it out.
So she wasn't a podcast listener then?
No, she didn't really know what a podcast
probably for
was.
The best.
I honestly, after the first 500 times of explaining what a podcast was, I did give up.
Yeah, no, I don't think my mum listens, and I think I want to keep it that way, if I'm honest.
But I tell you what, Mum, useless as she was technology, totally embraced Alexa. And she loved that. And of course, now I've said that, everyone's Alexa is going off everywhere because it's very irritating. But she couldn't get the podcast on Alexa for whatever reason. We tried. There are all sorts of gizmos you can use and shortcuts and things. But we never got that working. Bless her. But she would have listened because she was very proud of her boys.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great, Joe. I mean, I it's tough and loss is always tough. But I feel personally that you know, when I go, I would like it to be after having sung a chorus of "You can't get a tune out of a sausage."
Do you know what? I feel like that too.
Might be. I might have to have that at my funeral, actually. But I don't know. You might have to come and play it.
It is a bit of a classic. I'm not going to lie.
It is literally a banger. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So listen, we should talk about heaven sometime. Maybe not now. Because, you know, you always want to think of that lovely thought of going and being reunited with everyone. And I sort of believe we are, you know, with God. I don't know about that bouncing around heaven with all our loved ones again. But now's not the time to talk about it. But we should talk about that again sometime.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it. In the meantime, I think, you know, let's just give thanks for your mum and for our families. And maybe a good time for all of us to think about the good things in our families. Some people don't get that, of course. Some people have very dysfunctional families and it's very difficult. But, you know.
It's
great though.
Love your families and tell them you love them and do that, because you never know when the last day is the last day. Mm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to say this and I wanted to share this with everyone because, frankly, our community feels like my church. So just wanted to let people know. Sorry, there aren't so many gags in it, but we'll get Ethel back on. Maybe Ethel could read the eulogy. I don't know. Perhaps not.
I don't think she does that kind of thing, really. She more does a condemnatory than a eulogy, I think.
But thanks to everyone who's been writing in with great feedback and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, this is a bit shorter than normal and I'm sorry about that. But we'll be back. Well, I tell you what we'll be back with. And I can hear your dog, by the way.
Yeah, he's very excited because my wife's just come in.
Oh, OK. We'll be back with an interview with Brian McLaren. Next week.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic.
I know, he's got a new book and it sounds amazing. Yeah.
So listen, thank you for doing this. And, you know, it's a privilege to sort of be with you at this time. And
bless you, mate. Thank you.
You know, we're all thinking of you.
Thank you.
And now I've got to go, actually, because there's a very exciting Tour de France cycling race going on and it looks like a Brit's going to win. So, you know.
Really?
I've held it together long enough.
Well, I haven't. I didn't even know that. So that's how weird my life's been this week. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, see you next week then, bud.
All right, see you next week, mate.
Cheers. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
It's called Late Summer.